Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The shepherds were the first to see Jesus, but they're already back with their sheep. And the wise men are still on their journey, probably waiting on an Amazon delivery because it got delayed in shipment, that gold, frankincense, and myrrh thing. Or maybe they got lost, and us men, we'll never ask for directions. Shepherds had an angel to guide them. Wise men had a celestial GPS system. How did we find our way back to the manger this morning? In all my travels, I've discovered things that I could just sit for hours and hours, and maybe even days and days to watch. Victoria Falls, the streets of New York, the fountains at Bellagio, the Grand Tetons. They are absolutely mesmerizing. I've also discovered things that are on the must-do-before-you-die list that, after I've seen it for just a minute, I'm ready to move on. Things like seeing the Mona Lisa, standing at the Four Corners, eating a White Castle slider, drinking Pocari Sweat, or dancing on the stage with Don Ho. It's a story for another day. They were all wonderful, but once was enough. Church attendance around the world doubled last night. I wish I could say that everyone went home laughing and shouting like the shepherds, a Savior's been born, a Savior's been born. But I'm pretty sure people were more focused on last-minute to-do lists involving food and gifts and cleaning the house before everybody arrives. Today, the sanctuary is more empty. But the only thing that matters is that Jesus is still in the manger. I know it's just a plastic doll, at least here, and I hope that wherever you go and whenever you see a manger, I hope you just stop and just glance for just a moment. It's kind of like touching your wallet or your purse when you arrive at the airport to make sure that you've got your new ID so that you can get through TSA. Because if it's there, then you're going to be okay. Friend told me to try a particular vitamin. After a few weeks, he said, "So how's it going?" I said, "I suppose it's okay." And he was a little confused. And I said, "Look, here's the thing. I don't know what it would be like if I hadn't taken the vitamin. Maybe my knees aren't feeling quite as creaky. But, it's hard for me to know. See, I have no idea what would happen if we didn't put the baby Jesus in the manger. Would anybody notice? Is there a sense of hope, of assurance when you see this plastic doll there? Would someone's Christmas be ruined if the manger remained empty?" So midnight last night was quiet, just the humming of the air conditioners and a few sniffles and coughs while I lit the Christ candle. The darkness had enveloped us. The tiny candles did their best to push back the darkness. And it did, so that I could see everybody's shining faces. Today is a different kind of quiet. Whether it's a lack of sleep or the tiredness of running crazy since Thanksgiving or the pain and the anxiety over the latest news stories, many of us are just done. We're looking forward to a great meal, watching a football game or maybe Charlie Brown, opening gifts if we haven't already done that, talking to family on the mainland, and a very quiet evening. But before we get to all of that, we came back to the manger this morning. Even though we stopped by the manger last night before heading off to get ready for all the Christmas festivities, something in us wouldn't let us go on until we took another look. And so we came back. Now, it's just plywood and some nails and a little plastic doll and some construction paper made to look like hay. But if we can see past all of that to the real manger and the real baby in the Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago, it's like looking at pictures from a vacation. It's just a piece of paper and some ink or just an image on the screen. But there's a certain picture that brings a flood of emotions and feelings because for just a moment, we're there, wherever it was, and whoever we were with. And we're either gladdened because it was a moment of amazing joy and we just remember it so clearly, or it's a moment of sadness because it was our last time with him. Maybe it was the moment right before everything changed. Christmas is a peculiar thing. It's religious, it's cultural, it's festive, it's political, it's economic. It comes at the shortest time of the year as far as daylight goes, which isn't a big deal for us in Hawaii. But my friends in Fairbanks in Minnesota, they noticed it because starting the 22nd, the days get just a little bit longer. There's a history and a design behind the choice of dates that we call Christmas. We don't know exactly when Jesus was born. The dates we use are fuzzy. In 3 or 4 BC, first of all, they didn't use AD and BC because Jesus hadn't been born yet. And they really weren't big on birthdays. The infant mortality rate was far too high. So no cakes, candles, funny hats, or singing. They tracked time by who got elected, or when the census took place, or when a king died, or when there was an earthquake. Luke, who interviewed everyone who was anyone before the gospel got written, he said, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that, well, a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. That puts Jesus' birth somewhere around 3 or 4 BC because, well, we know that Herod died around 4 BC, the same Herod, you know, that goes after him. As far as why December 25th, well, Sextus Julius Africanus and later a guy named Hippolytus decided that the Holy Spirit visited Mary on March 25th. Thus, 9 months later equals December 25th. And Sextus and Hippolytus also believe that Jesus died on March 25th, putting a nice bow on their theory. Christmas was officially set for December 25th in 336 AD, but that was a lot more for party planners than really for historians and theologians. The Christian faith has always been translated by culture and churches and people's lives. If you want to know why we have trees and wreaths and presents and lights and candy canes, well, you can spend all afternoon watching YouTube videos or going on Wikipedia to find out all the various theories. The first Christmas, there were just two people who loved each other and were loved by God. A tiny baby, some animals, shepherds running through the streets like crazy people, a bright star, some wise men on a journey, and a mean and nasty king. Oh, and a lot of people who had no idea that the world had just totally changed. Now, people translate things into things they can understand, light and darkness, babies, gifts, angels, food, and they retell the story in their own way, which then gets retold again and again. And each time someone puts their own spin on the story or adds or subtracts something. And don't even get me started with those who can't wait to commercialize anything and everything, including God's Son. God was active in the world and people's lives long before the birth of Jesus. The Old Testament tells us those stories. In order to connect the moment of Jesus' birth to all of God's history, St. John borrows Moses' first words from Genesis, in the beginning. But instead of telling us how God made the heavens and the earth, John speaks of how God came to save us, remake us, when it got so dark that we couldn't find our way home. And maybe that's why we came back this morning, the hymns, the candles, the cookies, and the chili were all good, but we need to hear the story again without all the distractions and smells. The Christian faith presumes you know who you are, a unique and unreproducible gift and miracle of God. It also presumes you know that heaven is your real home, that this place you're living is just a brief stopover. Where it gets sticky is the next part. A long time ago, the 1990s to be exact, the only way that you could get from here, where I'm at in Iaea, over to Ford Island was the ferry. They hadn't built the bridge yet. By the way, to get on the ferry, you had to have a military ID. No ID, no ferry. We had a young lady at our school who was an amazing student. She was friendly, she was athletic, she was talented, she was outgoing. She was also a little bit forgetful. On multiple occasions, she heard the school bell, knew it was time to make her way back to Ford Island, reached into her purse and discovered she had forgotten her ID back home. Now, she had an address and a home on Ford Island. You couldn't have looked her up, but you could have looked her parents up in back then. It was a phone book. Yeah, and her parents were there right now. But the guards would not let her on the ferry without an ID. The only way that she could get home was for her mom or dad to get on the ferry, come over, pick her up, and take her back. I hope you see where this is going. Heaven is our home. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. All of this is spelled out over and over again in the Bible, but our sinful nature keeps us from going home. It's a lot more than forgetfulness. It's a thing called sin. No matter how much we plead, bribe, work, or cry, they aren't going to let us in unless our brother comes to take us home. Well, St. Luke's words are a quiet story of a family's dangerous but holy journey. St. John's words are poetic majesty. We could just hang out at the manger with Jesus and his family, but John's mysterious poetry won't let us. It draws us in and won't let us go. John shines light into our darkness. He doesn't even give us one of those polite, watch your eyes. Nope, he just shines it right there. The Word became flesh and lived among us, dwelt among us. The same Word that created the heavens and the earth, the same Word that made promises through Abraham and brought freedom through Moses, challenged the world through prophets, gave guidance through kings, becomes a tiny little fetus for 9 months inside his mom. And then he gets born as a vulnerable tiny baby in a stable in a tiny place called Bethlehem. God living among us is cause for reflection, not just because God showed up, but because God became as human and fragile as we are. God knows about the darkness of this world, not by listening to some cosmic radio show that he can hear in heaven, but because he lived among it and in it and was affected by it. He knows about the darkness of someone you love living with mental health issues, the grief of losing a friend or loved one far too soon, chronic pain, illnesses and diseases that rip away our ability to think or breathe or walk or even live, the unrest in the world where someone thinks that they must take the life of another because they disagree. Jesus shines a light of defiant hope into all of that darkness. My wife Nancy collects nativity scenes. At this time of year, they are scattered all over the place. In the late hours of the night, I love to look at them, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph. The manger's always empty until Christmas. I think about the part of their lives we know and the parts that we don't. Their stories lead me to your stories and all the stories of the people that sat in these pews, all the people that you know that were here before you, and even the people that'll be here after us. It leads me to my story and Nancy's story, our children's story and our grandchildren's stories, light and darkness, pain and joy, love and hate, bad times and good. We all struggle through pretty much the same thing. The particulars may be different, but if we were to confess our sins or dump our problems before or on top of one another, we would be disappointed in the lack of our originality. And that is why we came back this morning, to be among people who understand what we're going through, because they're also going through it. We came back to make sure that Jesus was still here, that his defiant ray of hope was still shining. We can go back to our families, our phone calls, our presents, our dinner, our trees and lights. But we're also going to go back to our problems, our pains, our hurts, our anxieties, our challenges, our darkness. But maybe we aren't quite as afraid or anxious because we know that the light shines into our darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. We will get to go home someday, and I'm talking about our eternal home, where there's no more darkness or any of the other things that make this life so hard. But until then, we have just enough light, just enough faith, just enough peace, and just enough love to see us through this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.